Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of November 12, 2021. This week we pray for our country, for those who are jobless, for those facing layoffs, for those who do not have enough, for those dealing with disaster, and those struggling with vaccine injuries and COVID. Our first lesson is from Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our gospel reading is from the 13th chapter of St. Mark. And as he came out of the temple, one of Jesus' disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." And the reading for our discussion comes from Exodus chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln, and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and become boils, breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils, breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now, therefore, send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast, and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as had never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail. so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Sometimes over our lives, our relationships with people change. Did you ever have someone in your life that you grew up with? Someone that you went to school with, played with, went to social gatherings and movies with when you were growing up? Then, over time, you went different directions. They studied different things, moved in different circles, became part of a different community of people. Then at some point, you got in touch with them again and found they were a completely different person than the one you grew up with. Whereas you had many common interests and enjoyments before, as you communicated with them, you found they had led a very different life from you and had a very different outlook on life than you. Let's say that you both grew up in the same church, or at least had a Christian faith background, but then at some point, something changed. As life continued, they were out of their parents' home, and then they started dropping out of their faith and eventually quit going altogether. They filled their life with other things, sometimes work, sometimes weekend sports, sometimes sleeping in. You began to notice that their priorities were very different. You noticed that you really didn't have much of anything in common anymore. Sometimes life lived has a way of making a person cynical over the years. People in our lives, they pass away. People go through cancer. People go through hard things. And rather than turning to their faith, they draw back from their faith. We all go through difficult things in life. We live in a fallen world, and it's hard to escape unscathed. We may not be the happy, free from any care kind of person that we were growing up. But we know that even our parents and our parents' parents, they have gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations through the course of their lives. So it's nothing new. It's just that at a certain point, we experience more of these things ourselves if we haven't already. Does this mean that God doesn't love you? No, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It means that you are experiencing what God had warned Adam and Eve about before they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they ate of that tree, they would die. That was an objective consequence of eating of the tree. They would die. You've probably heard commercials for a particular drug, and you're trying to figure out what the benefit of the drug would actually be, but then they start listing all the side effects. A persistent itching under your right ear, an intermittent throbbing of the left knee, infrequent gyrations of the eyes, but all of these are normal. Call a doctor if your dry mouth persists for more than 5 days, and just in case you didn't know this, a risk of use may be death. For many people, just hearing that a medicine could cause their death would be enough. God didn't give Adam and Eve a list of the side effects. He said, "You will die." But the serpent clouded the issue. "You will not surely die." That was a lie. But the serpent told them, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." To Adam and Eve, that sounded like a benefit, and this was a test of their obedience to God. But the fruit was like a switch that could not be switched off. Once the button was pressed, it was pressed. There was no going back. We live with the consequences of that decision going all the way back to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve lived in that garden before the fall, they were connected with God. But after the fall, they were estranged from God. They no longer walked with Him in the way they did in the garden. There came a point in history where they called upon God in prayer. For those who wanted to be connected to God, they could still call upon Him. And when we go through stuff, it makes a big difference when we know God. God knows what's coming, and He helps us through some of the minds of the fallen world. Some of the minds are unavoidable. All the minds are armed. But God gives us things to help us around them. God gives us His commandments. He gives us absolution and His sacraments to bind us up. And He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us through. But there's a mind we can't avoid when we live in this world. We can delay it for a while, but that mind is death. It's a big mind on the way out of the minefield. What if you had a way of having a life beyond that mind? That is what God said He would provide in the times to come. That salvation that God offers is the whole story of Scripture. It's what it's about. In the fallen world, we live in a world of people that know God and others who don't know God or are apathetic or hostile to God. When you know God, your life will be different. You will generally have a peace that others may not have. You will have this because you know that the sins that cause you pain and trouble, they are forgiven. You will temper your struggles and your vices. That is God's Holy Spirit guiding your conscience and helping you around the mines. Being connected with God gives you a better life. When you do face the troubles of life, God helps you deal with those things. Instead of carrying those troubles yourself, God helps you to carry them when you place them in His hands, when you give them to His Son. Pharaoh is one of those people who doesn't know God. In actuality, Pharaoh thinks that he is a god. I always found it interesting when rulers of the past thought they were gods. That's an interesting outlook on life, isn't it? More than anything, I would say it is a manner of control, a way of getting the servants and subjects of the king to serve and obey and to do so with haste. The true God has the power to end a life in an instant. A ruler on earth doesn't have that power, but can have a person put to death. To this point, Pharaoh has been hardening his own heart, going back on his word with stubbornness. It is a serious arrogance. Pharaoh sees himself as a god, but he is no god at all. But he can sure lord it over his people. He can lord it over the Israelites who belong to God. Pharaoh thinks Israel belongs to him. They do not. They belong to the true God. The plagues are a consequence of Pharaoh's disbelief. He doesn't believe in the true God. He believes in himself. He believes in the Egyptian gods, which are just idols. God is demonstrating that Pharaoh and the Egyptian gods are powerless before him. God says that if Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, additional plagues are coming. This time, the livestock will be affected: horses, camels, herds, flocks. The main city of the Israelites is Goshen. That is where the slaves live. God will destroy Egypt's livestock, and the Israelites' livestock will be unaffected. The division kind of reminds me of those storms where you come around the corner and the rain completely stops and it's sunny. Israel's livestock was untouched. Pharaoh hardens his heart again. He is arrogant. He thinks he is a god. He thinks he is in control, that Israel is his property, that his own people are his property. If you think about it, everything is given by God or on loan by God in some manner or another. Then God tells Moses and Aaron to bring about the sixth plague. Take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Have you ever seen a person covered in sores dealing with a skin disease? Our skin is the largest organ of our body. When a person's skin is injured, it can be terribly painful, and when enough of the skin is injured, it can cause death. When Satan attacked Job, Job was covered with miserable sores from head to foot. That's in Job 2. Job's life is miserable day and night. He says, "My flesh is clothed with worms and dirt. My skin hardens, then breaks out afresh." That's Job 7, verse 5. He would take a piece of broken pottery and scrape himself, as it says in Job 2. I once witnessed a woman who appeared to have a terrible skin disease. The poor woman was covered with an affliction that looked like very large skin tags that must have been all over her body. I could just see her forearms and her face, but it was a grievous condition. How miserable she must have been. The boils of the Egyptians were painful, and they affected the person all the way down to the joints and covered the entire body. Pharaoh's magicians couldn't even come before Pharaoh anymore. The pain of just standing there covered in boils was severe. This time, after the sixth plague, it says that the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart. To this point, it had just been Pharaoh hardening his heart. He could see God's work. He could see God's almighty power, and yet he still refused to listen to God and do as he said. This was Pharaoh against God, and Pharaoh wasn't going to win this. Yet God knew that every plague was coming. It was all known beforehand. This was all known even in the time of Abraham. God had spoken of it even then. It wasn't that God picked out a man upon which to bring these terrible events. It wasn't a case of what we call double predestination. There is no double predestination. There is only predestination. Double predestination is when a person is either destined for heaven or destined for hell. So a person is born and it doesn't matter what they say or do, they are destined either for one place or the other. That idea is not true. So those who believe in double predestination would say that Pharaoh was destined to resist God in the first place, and so his doom was set in stone. That wasn't so. Notice up until the sixth plague, it was Pharaoh who chose to resist God. Predestination, on the other hand, is a view where all have been destined for heaven. That is scriptural. Now listen carefully. When was that determined? Hear these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one wouldn't dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We were all predestined for heaven when Christ died for us. Yet we know that some will not enter heaven. From Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is accurate for all people who have lived on the earth. Why will some wake to shame and contempt? In other words, hell. Because they did not believe in Christ. After the sixth plague and Pharaoh's continued unbelief and resistance to God, that is when the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He wasn't destined for condemnation. Many times Pharaoh could see what was good and right and had the opportunity to do that thing. Think of the Pharaoh that Joseph served under, the one that seemed to be just. This Pharaoh was arrogant and full of his own pride. He chose his own way, and then the Lord set the cast after the sixth plague. The seventh plague was hail. By this point, many among Pharaoh's servants could see that all of this was God's work, and they knew that it was best to get the livestock into the houses. Others that didn't would see their livestock, crops, and trees wiped out. God also sent thunder and lightning. Pharaoh seems to have some fear over the events now. If Pharaoh believes he is a god, he can see that the true God is greater and more powerful still. In Goshen, still there was no hail. The children of Israel were spared. Pharaoh said to Moses that he had sinned and asked that God would stop the hail. He wasn't truly repentant. Just as Moses had stretched out his hand to begin the hail, now he was stretching it out to stop it. Pharaoh is saying in verse 28, "Plead with the Lord." He wanted the hail, the thunder, and the lightning to stop. And he says, "I will let you go. You shall stay no longer." Yet once Pharaoh saw that the hail had stopped, Pharaoh once again goes back on his promises. The plagues are showing Pharaoh clearly who's in charge. It's not Pharaoh. Do you have a friend that has left behind their faith in God? A son or daughter or grandchildren? Does this grieve you? I would think it would. Not only does God want us to love these friends and family members, God wants us even to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Those who are at odds with God are not predestined for hell. Christ died for all. Christ died for them too. And he rose again that we might all have life. We are in the condition we are in this world because of fallenness, sin, the world, and the old evil foe. As it says in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There are some powerful instances of humanity seeing that the Lord of Scripture is the true God and that Jesus is Lord. We see repentance in people like Manasseh in Scripture and in Paul and in others. And maybe you've seen it yourself in your life. Do you have someone in your family or friends who have fallen away? Witness as you can, but by all means, pray for them. They need your prayers. Ask for God to guide them and show them that he is Lord. Ask that some change comes about in their life where they will come to know the Lord. Jesus died for you and for all people that you might have life. And so, we pray that his kingdom will come even to those in our lives who have not yet come to know the Lord. My 7-year-old daughter had this music box that you could see had a little piece of plastic that broke off and was broken and was blocking the spool from spinning. And I wasn't sure if the whole thing was irreparable, so I never got around to doing something with it. I thought that it was busted for good. Today, she went and found a screwdriver, opened it up herself, and pulled out the broken piece and put it back together. And what do you know? It started working again. You might think that certain people are completely broken, that they can't be fixed. But only God knows the heart of man. And God can fix what to us seems completely unfixable. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, in my own heart and in the hearts of those I know, there is this thing called sin. You came to take away my sins, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would restore me and restore the hearts of those around me, that your life may abound in us. We pray this in your name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for our country that you will guide our country and guide the leaders of our country to do what is right and good. We pray for those who are jobless, for those facing layoffs, for those who do not have enough, for those dealing with disaster and those struggling with vaccine injuries and COVID. We pray that you'd bring your healing upon our country, upon its people, and that you would strengthen the faith of our land. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And that's verse 3. All our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing, though all earthly wealth depart. They who trust with faith unshaken by their God are not forsaken, and will keep a dauntless heart. He who to this day has fed me, and to many joys has led me, his endeavor shall be mine. He who ever gently schools me, he who daily guides and rules me, will remain my help divine. Many spend their lives in fretting over trifles and in getting things that have no solid ground. I shall strive to win a treasure that will bring me lasting pleasure, and that now is seldom found. When with sorrow I am stricken, hope anew my heart will quicken, all my longing shall be stilled. To his loving kindness tender, soul and body I surrender, for on God alone I build. Well, he knows what best to grant me, all the longing hopes that haunt me, joy and sorrow have their day. I shall doubt his wisdom never, as God will, so be it ever. I commit to him my way. If my days on earth he lengthen, God my weary soul will strengthen. All my trust in him I place. Earthly wealth is not abiding, like a stream away is gliding, safe by anchor in his grace.